Sounds nice. All right. What is up, everyone? Welcome to the podcast where we dive in on relationships, love, lust, dating, science, philosophy, psychology, and so much more. We are also on iTunes, so make sure to leave us a review on there if that's where you're tuning in from. Spotify gets our updates too, so don't be shy. Or if you're watching here on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, hit the bell button so you can get automatic updates. You won't ever have to search for another episode again. There is no fee to watch the show other than tell a friend, tell your best friend about the show, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your husband, your wife, your soulmate for life, whoever. Let them know that we are going to give useful advice and tools on the show. We're going to tell stories. We're going to share experiences. We're going to laugh. We're going to cry. But regardless, we're going to have a great time here on the show. So with that being said, let's welcome our guest here today. She needs no introduction. She's been here on the show before on episode 137. It's Lily Wang. I'm going to read her lengthy bio. I'll see how much I can get through it before we just cut to getting to the questions here. So Lily is driven
to... What a wonderful welcome. I'm going to read her lengthy bio. You don't have to read it all. It was just
at the beginning. I was like, "Yeah, just send me a short bio so I can introduce you on the show." And then I look at the email, and it's got like a couple paragraphs. So I'm gonna give
that just was for a conference.
Some cold.
So you can pick and choose.
But Lily is definitely driven, and she's driven to help individuals and business owners take an entrepreneurial, creative, and still a systematized approach to achieving their goals. She holds a master's degree from the London School of Economics in the UK. She has designed and taught workshops around the world, ranging from at home in Edmonton, Canada, to Kathmandu, Nepal, and has spoken at conferences and events across North America as well, Europe, India, and more. Her work and collaborations include those with the World Health Organization, the United Nations, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and multiple startups and grassroots organizations around the world. In addition to this corporate background, she has also trained with top thought leaders in the realm of personal and business development and quantum physics. Thanks to her hippie father, she started this journey of personal development, masterminding and working with top coaches well over a decade and a half ago. A few years ago, she spent time with industry giant Bob Proctor at his family's house in Toronto, and she has since then also met Gary Vee, Tony Robbins, etc. So Lily, I'm going to stop there. This is definitely a lot you've achieved in such a short time, and so I'm glad to have you on. Anybody else looking to look at the other episode that we did, go to therobinshow.com/podcast, and then you'll be able to find episode 137 of me and Lily. But Lily, again, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, Rob. Thanks for having me.
That was an awesome bio. I mean, like, we did talk a lot about the things that we're doing. Well, what's interesting here that we've talked a lot about is quantum physics, right? We're talking a little bit about energy right before we got on the show. So, yeah. I mean, a lot of my followers, I definitely guarantee you that some of them have a spirituality component to them. And as we were talking about, a lot of spiritual teachers teach energy and what that looks like. But to other people who are not familiar to it, when they just get started, they would probably be introduced to it via the quantum mechanics field, I guess the physics side of things, right? So how did you get so interested with all of that, and tell us like why that became such a pivotal thing for you in your education and the things that you do?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. So how I got introduced to quantum physics, energy, the laws of the universe was really, I had a very, very early introduction to it in my preteens. I was still at an age where I still wanted to hang out with my dad. Like, it wasn't really uncool yet. I went with him. I learned about the chakras, auras, all of those things. I also studied Qigong. And Qigong, as you may know, is that very ancient Chinese meditative energy practice. So because I did these courses, not courses really, it's not like they were a 6-week little set of modules. They were a way of life. It was a very rigorous practice. I got that introduction very early. And since then, you know, I've read a lot more, studied a lot more, and how it's really informed my life is just understanding a truly more universal, holistic way of life. It's affected how I practice business, how I look at relationships, how I look at even challenges and in coming up with solutions. So yeah, it's really just kind of changed my perspective from the micro, like the, oh, this is the issue of the day, the issue of the moment that a lot of people get stuck on, to more of a global, worldwide, bigger approach to a lot of things.
So do you teach workshops specifically on this, or is it something that you like sprinkle in to people? Because I mean, most people, from my understanding, well, not most people, I guess there's like a 50-50 kind of, let's say, where people think it's a little bit too woo-woo, and you're like, whoa, you're stop there, this is kind of like going a little bit beyond my head. So like, do you just abruptly give it to them, or is it designed to just be kind of like sprinkled into your workshop?
Sprinkled, yeah. That's a great question. I generally design it to be sprinkled within workshops or within my coaching, because again, if you approach people with too much of a woo-woo right up front, and all they're wondering is, how do I increase my bottom line? How do I drive down costs, drive up revenue, right? And you're talking about energy. They're like, I don't need a crystal. I need money, right? So I do generally sprinkle it. Once I know the client, and once the client knows me, like they know that I know what I'm talking about, then we can dive into the real quantum physics. And then at that point, results get achieved way faster. But unfortunately, even if it's better for the client to know more about energy and the laws of the universe for the purpose of their business right off the bat, sometimes you have to sprinkle it softly in to calm them, as to not worry them that, hey, I'm just here to talk about crystals. And
but this all makes sense though, because I mean, as a leader or as a CEO or as anybody who's like managing people, we always think about the people underneath us too. So if we're not understanding how other people come to the table, not just bottom line, like their quota, these people are human beings as well too, so we have to think about that. So how do you tell, I guess, these managers or these leaders or these CEOs or these executives that this is something that you need to pay attention to when they come from such a background, such as we were just talking about, where it's just like, what's the bottom line? What's the end number? Like, why? I really don't care about anything else other than, you know, get your work done kind of thing. So
yeah,
how does that
that's a great question. So on the one hand, if someone's like completely unaware of the idea that for every thought, there is a reaction, for every thought, feeling, action, there's a response, you know, we are always responsible for our outcomes. For someone who's completely unaware of that, they're just not the client for me, right? Like, there's 7 billion people in the world. There's certain people who at this point, I'm not going to work with, and that's completely fine. So that's number one. After that, you know, then there's a lot of people who obviously are very driven to change their business or turn their company or team around, but they're just somewhat open. And those are a great, great place to, that's a great, thanks. You just updated the banner. That's a great population with whom to work. So what usually happens there is, again, I start with the real business stuff, right? Drive down costs, how to increase revenue. I work on team culture, all those important things. And that what that does is facilitate trust. It shows them I know what's actually happening. It shows them I understand their business. It shows them that I'm actually helping them.
And then that ultimately helps their bottom line. It ultimately helps their revenue, because these people, I mean, and this is what I think is so interesting, because it's not quantifiable, so to say. Like, there's no metric that people are actually using. Oh, this guy got spiritual enlightenment, so that's why his results went 10% more. Like, I mean, I wish there was more of that, because I think there, what you're saying there actually has a lot of validity to that, because if you do measure that, I'm sure you'll see that even just morale of the group goes up, or people are just excited to come to work. They're more on time. They're a little bit more sharper when they're, you know, doing this certain task at hand, because they feel as if their energies are being matched.
Yeah, that's That's exactly right. Yeah, and these all these things improve morale, energy, productivity, team culture, and it's you're right. On the surface, it looks like it's not quantifiable, and it's true. It's not as quantifiable. But I definitely use metrics. So when I come into a team or I come into a company, I use metrics and we do track them. And that's less, by the end, honestly, nobody cares about the metrics because they know there's improvements. But just for that very what's that word?
Quantifiable.
For that person who's very interested in the quantifiable metrics, it's always there.
No, that's interesting. I mean, we talked about, I think, a metric or a measuring system, I think, right? It was called...
the DISC system, you mean?
Yeah, the DISC system, yeah. So does that have any relevance to what we're talking about right now?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, great memory, by the way. So we did talk about the DISC system relatively quickly yesterday. That is less so to track improvements, but more so to see where you're at, what kind of a person, leader, manager, employee you are right now, and what you need in your business. And that's really, really important. So for those of you listening, Rob and I talked about the DISC briefly yesterday because it's a way, it is not the metric, but it's just one way of looking at, okay, what kind of a leader you are, your strengths, your weaknesses. And as an example, Rob, you may remember we said a lot of business people, they attract who they're like, because that's what we do in friendship. We want who we're compatible with because it's easier. But business, a successful business, to make it easy in the long run, you need to set up the systems and structure right now in the short term. And that often involves learning how to work with personalities who have strengths and weaknesses that you don't really care for normally, learning to fit that into your team to make your life easier. But in the short term, that's often quite the struggle. And that's why most people don't do it.
Now, the one thing that's coming into my mind is, have you ever thought about the dynamics in between like masculine people who hold masculine energy and people who hold feminine energy?
Definitely.
If they are more likely to be stronger in certain categories of that system that you just mentioned, DISC, or any other metric that you come across, is there things in the workplace or things in, I guess, leadership roles that you're finding that, you know, it just requires a certain amount of energy, whether it be masculine or feminine? Because obviously in the line of work that I do a lot is people start to question who they are and the energies that they put out. And a lot of them, and as you said, it's energy work. It's very trying to understand things that aren't really tangible or quantifiable. Yes.
Yeah.
And so that we can look at it in such a way where it's more or less just awareness we talked about. So how does that kind of like play into leadership, and how does that play into, you know, certain people approaching you for certain problems? Like, how does that play into all of that?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. And maybe before diving into that, because you talk about the masculine, feminine a lot too, and I really respect that about you. Do you want to just very quickly tell us some of the key qualities, good and bad, of the masculine and key qualities of the feminine? And then I'll dive deeper into that.
So from my understanding, the feminine in terms of what they possess is a lot of softness. Some people might disagree with me here, but they do possess a lot of submissiveness, which is also a quality that people think of as a weakness, but it actually isn't. Another strong trait is that they're very loving. They're very nurturing. They just have that built in them. They're very intuitive. Okay, and then on the masculine side, they are more goal-oriented. I guess they are leadership-driven. They are... looking to, I guess, be integritous and build high character, because when you think of nobility, you think of like kingdoms that were run by kings. And when I think about masculinity, I just think about that energy, because there's obviously periods of time where, you know, there was women who ran civilizations, and they just possessed masculine traits in order to be successful at what they do. But I'm not talking about male female here. So I would say, in terms of masculinity, that's where those strengths come from. Now, there's shadow traits of both. Now, there's, and this is where a lot of men and women kind of are similar. So we're very different in terms of what we're very good at, but what we're bad at, we're very similar. So in terms of like controllingness and obsessive and aggressive behavior, like we're very good at that as human beings, and whether it be masculine or feminine. So those are the types of the shadow traits that I'm talking about. And I think a lot of men and women can relate when we go through these kinds of things like anger, sadness, and we talked about the lower vibrational things, and I can kind of compare it to that, where, you know, some of the higher feminine, higher masculine traits are relatable to that of gratitude and appreciation and, you know, joy and lovingness. And so when you look at the, I guess the shadow traits, we're thinking this obsessiveness, this controlling, this and be bitching and belittling and, you know, name whatever you want on it. But we're all good at it as humans in that kind of sense. So
right.
That's just, yeah, that's like how I see it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wonderful. And thanks for sharing that, just so that all of us who are listening, the audiences, we're on the same page. And I would totally agree. So there's masculine type qualities and feminine type qualities. And again, just to reiterate what you said, Rob, it's not so much the gender at all. It's more the qualities, right? It's more of an energy dynamic. And this goes back to very, very ancient times, right? Like thousands of years ago. There's a misunderstanding of the yin and yang symbol. Unfortunately, it's been made to feel cheap, but that's not really it at all. It's a philosophy from thousands of years ago. And one thing to say is that even back then, their understanding of these energies was the healthiest and the best person you could be, learned the healthiest expression of the self in this human life was to learn how to be both, have both masculine and feminine qualities. We tend to be born into the world more of one, right? And that's our elemental composition as a person. Then we go through development, right? Where we rewarded or punished by our primary caregivers for being one or the other. So we're strengthened or weakened. But as an adult with consciousness and awareness and the desire to express the highest version of ourselves, we can try to reduce the shadow elements of whatever we're expressing as much as we can and increase the higher version, noble elements of whatever we have. So I really want to reiterate that we tend to come into this world with a certain percent composition of one or the other. But as a conscious human, we can develop whatever we choose, right? The second thing I'd add to that is that even in our English language, for centuries, we've lived in a more male, not male. See, I just did it. More masculine, right?
It's just No. You know, you're not bad for that, because like I do that all the time in even
all
my workshops all the time. Like actually,
yeah.
I can't even say all the time, but like a lot of the time where it just comes out, right? It's just an easier way to explain it. So that's why I was,
to say it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's why I was come off with that disclaimer of like, okay, if I make a mistake, that's not what I meant.
Yeah. It's not a gender thing.
Yeah.
It's an energy thing. Yeah. So back to what I was saying, our English language evolved along with how society evolved. And for centuries, this culture has been very masculine oriented, right? So even when we were talking about some of the feminine traits is, you know, one trait that you thought of, I'm not nitpicking, but for example, submissiveness, right? A lot of the words and the connotation, meaning the meanings we associate, we feel about those words tend to be less positive. And that's not an inherent thing about feminine qualities at all. It's just an expression of our culture. For centuries, it was better. It was seen as more better to be strong, to be loud, to lead, to be out there than to be at home, to be nurturing, to be heart-centered. And And that's just, you know, as unfortunate as that is, it's just how we've evolved as a culture and as a language. So I just wanted to point that out. So a lot of people, when they're starting to get into personal development, they're like, wait, I relate to this energy more, but it just sounds bad. So now what happens to a lot of people is they start suppressing themselves. And, you know, if you're listening and if that's how you're feeling, I want you to know that it's not you, it's their language. Mm. And so the best we can do as teachers and coaches is to start using these languages in positive ways. So, for example, feminine energy is horizontal. Feminine energy make for great leaders. It's just for centuries, we saw leadership as a top-down thing. Hierarchy, right? Tyranny, right? My word is the law. Feminine energy leadership is horizontal. Well, what do you think? How can I serve you? So it's a servant leadership type of energy, traditionally, right? Whether that's a person who identifies as a male or female or whatever, it's a horizontal thing. So even though I'm leading with you. Doesn't that just sound so much more positive?
Yeah, I mean, there's advantages to, I guess, feminine leadership and masculine leadership, I think, depending on the times that we are in. I guess what I'm trying to get at is when, you know, I heard this quote that nations are born Stoics, but they die Epicureans. So that comes from a philosophy standpoint where people had to adopt a certain philosophy in certain times because times were either hard or it was hard to cope with certain things. And so more of a Stoic philosophy became more prominent in that sense. And that I would relate more to masculinity and being strong and being powerful in that kind of sense. When you're in an Epicurean type of society, you're more of in a feminine, loving, nurturing type of community because times aren't so bad. We have, you know, accessibility to fresh water, clothes. We're not in our primal ways anymore, where we're having to look over our back and wondering if World War III is going to drop bombs on us or something like that. Yeah. And so, like, you know, I could agree that in this time that we're in right now, that yes, a more feminine type of leadership role has taken place. Even in the last 60 to 70 years, I would say that has happened. And so, but just when you know, things, you know, I truly believe that humans live in patterns. And because we live in patterns, you know, things start to repeat itself. So, you know, nations are I hate getting so political on this channel, but people will view, you know, North America as a very weak country right now. We're looking at, you know, trillions of dollars in deficit, but we have the best army, which is, you know, kind of like the catch-22 of why democracy has kind of lasted for so long. But when you look at when nations die and when nations reborn, they follow a certain pattern, and this is what I'm kind of coming full circle with, is that, you know, I agree with you. Yes, I think this more feminine, nurturing type of leadership role has taken more precedence in this age, in this day and age that we're living in right now, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah, and what you said made a lot of sense. Nations definitely are cyclical. They come and they go, as are businesses, as are people, and so on. And I just want to qualify what I just said. I wasn't so much talking about feminine energy to boost it up. I was about to move to the masculine energy too. The point I wanted to make earlier, a couple minutes ago, was more so how we're framing something. Right. So for a lot of us, we do have feminine energy in us, but we suppress it because as we're growing up, we're taught, right, in our society and in our day and age, that they're not as worthy as are certain masculine traits. And so it's a way for me to reframe it to the listener that, hey, if you identify with certain feminine qualities, it's not so much that you're not a leader or that you're not strong. It's just your leadership is more horizontal. Now, whether that's been appreciated or not in societies, in nations, in whatever part of the cycle we are, within a country, that's another matter. And you're totally right. There's a cycle, there's a time and place when it's more appreciated. But that's one way of my telling the listener that, you know, the word submissive, the word soft, you know, they in our ears, to our psychology, don't sound very good. And that's for a reason. It's because culturally we grew up learning that they weren't good, when in fact they can do a lot of good. And then on the other hand, with the masculine energies, you know, Rob, you mentioned the historical traditional kingdom, right? And again, it's we're framed to think, okay, the masculine energy is very suitable for that kind of a role. And that's absolutely true. Now, what's absolutely also true is, on top of this king, queen, whomever, being the top, being the leader, having a hierarchy and power top down, is a successful king and queen or successful business leader is actually very heart-centered and learns, either naturally knows how to or has learned through their consciousness, awareness, and wisdom to connect with people using more feminine type energies.
Yeah.
So he or she, yeah, they may have that positional hierarchy and authority, but they learn to nurture their team. They
I definitely want to stop you there, but just because I agree with you wholeheartedly there, because I mean, in this day and age right now, I think the reasons why a lot of my businesses have failed is because it was this top-down thinking. It was a lot of this hierarchical whatever,
one of the above,
and it was that, literally. And when I've shifted my business to more a heart-centered approach, things started to really, really change. Things really, really started to I guess come full circle. Well, and I'll just back up a little bit. I guess I wanted to explain, you know, for me, I expressed my masculinity in a very, you know, shadowy and also a very divine way, but it was too much.
Rob, you're just selling yourself so well.
Well, I was saying it was too much. And sometimes as men, if you're veering too much on that side of the spectrum, what Lily and I are saying, and I hope that's what we're saying, is that sometimes, and this could go vice versa, if you're too on the feminine side of things, we can all take a little bit of a more mindful approach to the other side and think of some of the higher vibrating traits and not blend who we are and be homogenized as male and female. No, I'm saying, you know, balance a little bit, you know, whether it be like an 80-20 or a 90-10, however you feel that it's going to add value to your life. Because at the end of the day, we're talking about relationships here. And when I go out there and to do my workshops and things like that, and people ask me about how you keep a relationship very, you know, I guess, exciting, how do you keep it long term, how do you keep it constantly moving upwards and in that direction, well, understanding the feminine and masculine energy helps so much when you're going into it, because there are some things that we can learn from each side of the fence that helps in communication. It helps in the way that we love our partners. It helps in the way that we connect with them on a more deeper and intimate level. And so I love how we're talking about and how we went from quantum physics, then we went from energies to masculine, feminine. And now I'm going to kind of just flip it a little bit and ask you, if the people that are coming to you in these leadership roles, like, what are some things that they're having trouble with right now in their business right now? Or how are they coming to terms with learning this information from you?
Oh, okay. I love that question. And I love what you just shared. And if I may just quickly address what you shared, I want to thank you for being so open and vulnerable and conscious and aware in sharing with us that in the past, a lot of the things, businesses, projects you did failed and didn't go as well as they could have because you were sticking with a very stringent model. That was more primarily of masculinity. And it's not because masculinity isn't good or bad. It's just the version that we learned growing up, right? And from that, you learned, okay, more balance is healthy and more balance is healthier for relationships, but also for the bottom line and business, right? And so, yeah, thank you, Rob, for that. And I want to, you know, to honor that, I want to add to that and say it's the same with myself as well. Many, many years ago, I used to, like, one project I did was delivering water filters to rural Cambodia. Now, this was way before the days of Instagram. So there were no influencers, there was no system to follow, no photos to like and to learn from. It was just either we do it or nobody does it, really. It's up to you. It was up to us at the time. And that involved a lot of stakeholders, a lot of personalities, a lot of people who don't really owe you anything. And I was kind of the glue holding it all together. So how do you hold all of that together when there's so much at stake? Well, I learned kind of in a hard way too, is although I needed this goal, you know, met, you know, we needed to keep our word, you know, accomplish this task, so to speak. It wasn't so much this, guys, this is the goal. You made a commitment, just do it. Right? That's a very traditionally masculine approach, not good or bad. It's just a very traditional way of looking at things. That didn't work anymore because it wasn't a company. It wasn't an organization. There was no boss, so to speak. And if we accomplished it, obviously my name would be associated with it. Great. But in that whole journey, it's not like I had any positional authority over anybody. In fact, it was almost as if I had to make sure that, you know, I had to be in their good graces to still get them all to help me, right? So that was an experience, one of the many experiences during which I learned, okay, I can't just be like, this is what you promised, so just do it. You know, I don't care if it's hard, just do it. But more learning how to work with their personalities, learning how to use a more heart-centered approach in the achieving of a common goal and so on. So and I think for the listener, I'm sure if they reflected on this, they could also see so many examples in their lives during which that traditional approach may have had to be swapped in favor of a more balanced approach of the masculine and feminine energies, right?
Yeah, and I just want to clarify, like, balance doesn't mean 50-50. I mean, if that works for you, sure. Sometimes 50-50 is a good thing. I'm not saying that. We're not giving you guys ratios to stick by. It's what your balance is. It's where you find that butter zone, that kind of thing. And, you know, I just wanted to, you know, just say, like, yeah, one of my masculine businesses that I ran was drug dealing, and that was going to either land me in jail or dead. Like, my friends were ending up there already. And so when you turn on too much, I guess what I'm saying is, you know, it's this balance that you return back to this core, I guess, whatever that core ideation of who you are, and live in that purpose, because that's ultimately where you produce better. You become better, and you have better conversations, you have better friendships, you have better relationships and all that. So this is amazing. Like, I love having these types of conversations on this show, because I think just anybody listening, I think we've just kind of blown their, or at least not blown their mind, but at least brought them into a new dynamic, especially because if they are leaders in their industry, or if they are in relationships, whether or not, we've talked about how they're kind of similar in that sense, where business foundationally, your partnerships that you create have a sort of that similar kind of beginning stages, foundational stages, where you try to build that relationship with that person. It's kind of like courting somebody on first date.
Yeah.
Right? And but obviously with a lot of nuance and so on and so forth. But how can we segue here? Are we?
Sure, I can answer your last question if you want about the challenges that people come to me with in terms of these energies.
For sure. Yeah, we didn't even touch on that. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So that was a great question. Thank you, Rob, for asking that. So, Rob was asking me, in my line of work, when entrepreneurs and businesses and leaders within companies approach me, how they where they're at in terms of the masculine and feminine and what their most common problems are. And honestly, their most common problems are the ones that Rob and I just mentioned. So one very common one is, again, because we all grew up in a very masculine oriented society, right? Where the loudest leader was seen as the best one, right? The soft one wasn't seen as good, where it was all about goal setting and winning at all costs and so on. So what tends to happen is these individuals, they were raised in a society like that. They performed well in a system like that. Whether they were naturally like that or they just learned to adapt to that system, it doesn't matter. Either way, they performed well in a system. So now they're a top manager, top producer, right? If they own their own business, they're the owner, like they're a top owner. And they're overseeing a lot of things. Their most common problem is I was raised in a system that no longer has not prepared me and is no longer suitable for the world that we have today. Maybe 40 years ago, positional authority was okay. Maybe, right? You worked your ass off. You were brilliant. You knew the right people. You got promoted. Now you have positional authority. And not to say that you were necessarily rude or mean or anything, but that often came with that territory. And guess what? Back then, that was often okay. Again, I reiterate what I said earlier. Okay, this was the goal. This was what we promised on this promise. This is what we committed to. Do it. You know, if it means 20 hours a day, do it. And then I'll reward you financially and I'll compensate you very well. But in that journey, you're on your own. I'm your boss. Don't talk to me about your family or your other goals. Just do it. And that's possibly and perhaps a very big reason why capitalism, the expansion of so many corporations and industries here in the West have grown so much. Right. That's possibly why, you know, we, you know, American television shows are everywhere. You know, our culture here in North America, we've just massively spread around the world. And that's a very nuanced thing. I'm just simplifying it. Right. But again, whether it's at the cultural level or the industry level or the company individual level, we've seen that that no longer works for the modern world we have today. Now, it doesn't matter if you're a team manager, CEO, or an entrepreneur with a team of just four. It doesn't matter where in the spectrum you fall. Just reminding them, this was the goal, do it. Come back to me in a week, a month, or whatever we decided on, and I'll, you know, give you the sales commission then. That's it. Doesn't work anymore. So that's the challenge for a lot of people, and I would say that it makes sense. Because the so-called, a lot of so-called successful people who were raised in the last couple of decades, myself included, Rob included, were raised in a very masculine-oriented society. Being soft, being loving, being caring, all these are amazing traits, but they were just, often we had to put them on the back burner a little bit because they just weren't seen as important. Now, all of a sudden, if you were winning in that system, how do you all of a sudden turn that down a little and move slightly to the feminine side and somehow at the age of 28, 48 or 67, turn the feminine side a little bit and be like, oh, nurture, caring. You know, how do you do that? And it seems like a big challenge, but what I've really found out through working with these leaders is it's really not that hard and it's just about a system. We build your ideal qualities that you want to see in yourself, in your team, and in how you interact with your customers into systems. And we build that into a new structure for your company. And then it just becomes, it really becomes way easier. And so now we have the traditional masculine traits with a more balanced approach with some feminine traits. And it's not easy. It's very simple. It's not easy, but it's very simple. The simple is the system. The not easy part is when you want to learn a new habit of thought, a new habit of relating to people, a new habit of expressing yourself with your employees. It's always a challenge, but it's very doable because I use a system.
Yeah, I love this. I think anybody, like, I really hope there's a guy who's listening, or even a woman listening to this, and maybe they're a little bit disgruntled and it's like, hey, maybe there's just some holes in the way that I manage or the way that I oversee certain things. You know, I feel like they can really benefit from just even having a conversation with you. So this is awesome. So I know we've talked about so much, I guess, like really, it's pretty heavy stuff. I know for the most, for the average listener, but I shouldn't undermine that, actually. I think the listeners here can take all of what we've been saying. So, but we'll lighten it up just a little bit. What's something that you're looking to, I guess, because I always talk about, so in the HQ, I always talk about how in there's always a balance. There should be relationships in your life, health should be going well, your business, you should always be adding value to it, but there's always a growth aspect to this. And I'm going to ask you here is like, so like what's on the horizon for you? Obviously, we always have something that we want to strive for. There's always something that's that we're always trying to develop new skills and attain, I guess, just new accomplishments or what have you. I mean, is there something that you're looking at, I guess, completing in the near future? Is there something that you want to up level in terms of your skills or your knowledge? Or are you going to any events, summits? Let us know. What are you doing? What are you up to?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Something that I want to up level and do more of is workshops within companies and businesses. So, one of my first loves has always been workshops. So, I love coaching. It's a very personal, soft energy. But in workshops, it's more didactic. So, in workshops, I do more of the talking. It's somewhat more of a top-down approach, right? Less personal, less heart-centered, more intellectual. See what I just did there? I went from the feminine to the more masculine. So I personally love workshops for that reason, right? I do a lot of prep work. It's a lot of research, putting things together, making everything structured, and then I just deliver. And I used to do that a lot, well over a decade ago, and I really, really want to amp that up this year, and just meet the right businesses who are conscious, who want to do better, who want to up level. And do more workshops. And then in terms of events, I'm speaking at a couple events in Edmonton, Alberta, which I know a lot of your listeners are all over the place, so they may not be able to attend. But yeah, that's what I do. I have several lined up this spring, and then some are more finance, more professionally oriented, so more businesses. Banks are coming and so on. Others are more like retreats, so a softer, more heart-centered approach. And you talked about the word balance, and I love the fact that you brought that up because I'm a very direct person, so that's a very masculine energy, but I'm also very, I can be soft and I want to relate to people as well, which is a traditionally feminine energy. So you can pick me up and plop me in any environment. I'll be like, okay, let's go. What do you want today?
Yeah, I feel the same about myself as well. And being in that awareness, it not only helps like your business, like you said, and how that affects your networking abilities, but I mean in relationships, when we come back to it, when we understand who we are as a partner, we start to see what we like in others. And I think that's just truly, truly important. But regardless, I just want people to either take the time to get a hold of you somehow. So are you hanging out on Instagram? Like, where's your favorite platform where people can connect with you right now?
Yeah, sure. So, and Rob, as you know, we were talking, my ClickFunnels, my website is under construction, unfortunately.
It's all good.
Yeah, so no website as of right now, but that's okay. It'll come back up. In terms of Instagram, my handle is the THE, then just my name, Lily Wang. So the Lily Wang, Lily is spelt with two L's. So make sure you get it. It's Lilly. And that's just to pay homage to the fact that I grew up in Sweden, and that's how we spelt it.
Right. You grew up in Scandinavia. That's interesting. I don't think I've ever had an Asian friend who ever grew up in Scandinavia. I don't.
There's some of us there, yeah.
That's crazy.
I had to go to Chinese school. My dad set up a Chinese school when I was six. He's like, I can't have a daughter who doesn't speak her native language. So he set that up, and then he's like, okay, now I'm going to hire some teachers. And that's how I made sure I
Yeah,
learned Chinese
that's
too.
beyond me. But then you guys settled in Edmonton, the coldest, the cold, or, well, not, I can't say the coldest, but it's pretty
But
cold up
almost
there.
pretty cold, yeah.
Almost, yeah.
All
Almost,
right.
I know. I'm gonna link all that up in the show notes. You guys can get a hold of Lily. And you know, one thing that we end every show here with, and I'm gonna stick to this one actually, is a lot of people find me after the end of these destructive, I wouldn't say all relationships, but just these destructive times in their lives where things start to go south. And a lot of people are dealing with heartbreak. They're just still going about their day to day, but there's still a part of their heart that aches. And you know, these triggers can make that ache hurt even more. And so if there was somebody kind of like going through that, and you know, given all that we've talked about, given everything that you know, and given all the, you know, maybe people have approached you for this advice at some point, but like, what's something, or maybe it's something that you've done that's kind of brought you out of a dark space. And I've obviously asked you this before, but you know, you're welcome to give a new answer or the same answer, but what's something that you do or that someone should do if they're experiencing some type of heartbreak where they're, you know, down in the dumps, kind of in the pits of hell, so to say. And you know, how can you, how, what steps can they take to get back to where they need to be?
To get back to where they need to be or where they want to be, right? That's a wonderful question. And now obviously your Rob is the relationship experts. That's not my niche, but I'm very, very happy to adapt what I do in my coaching and business strategy to this answer, to this topic. So one thing I would say is there is kind of a ladder, so to speak, a spectrum of different energy levels. So often when we experience heartbreak, we're at a level that's very low. And to almost quantify that, so to speak, like quote unquote, you know, if you're feeling depressed or guilt or sadness, shame, maybe those are the feelings that are at these lower energy levels. And maybe that's something that you and I, Robbie, can do for what way different podcasts, because this is a totally bigger topic, whole other big topic, but
I mean,
very quickly.
we could do a live together with this.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. It's just such an important concept. It's quantum physics broken down into like very easily understood, simple
Yeah, I love that.
concepts. Yeah. So when we're experiencing a heartbreak, and for those of you who maybe aren't experiencing romantic heartbreak, a heartbreak or a disruption like that can be when you're let go of a job, right? Or when your business falls under. It's a very similar energy. And you feel, you know, the energy, the sluggishness, you know, you're sad, you're depressed, and so on. That's a low energy vibration. So again, this is like a 7-hour topic, but the best thing I could say is have that awareness that that's where you're at. So it's not, you know, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with how things are. That's a very normal, typical experience. And just know that from, you know, from this, of course, we need a chart when we do this next time, but from low to high, that's all it is. You're at a low state, and that's all it is. When you have that awareness, at least we can take away the guilt and shame of where you're at. It's okay. And the next thing I would say is, and this is where a lot of people trip up, is we go from depression. From depression, we want to go up and up and up. Eventually, ultimately, we want to get back to a place of happiness, joy, appreciation, gratitude. Now, on the day of a breakup, if I were to ask this man, this woman, this whomever, hey, are you grateful for the love that you experienced from the person who broke your heart? They'd be like, F no. Right, so gratitude is so far up that energy ladder that it's not attainable and relatable at all. So we have to go step by step up. And so where a lot of people trip up is they go from depression. The next level up is actually anger. And we as a society, we don't it's we don't we haven't evolved culturally to support a healthy amount of anger. The closest thing I would say that we have is exercise, right? So if you're angry, go punch like a pillow, right? If you're angry, run it off. And for a lot of people, I would suggest that. But even like if you have a safe space, if you're a verbal person, verbalize that anger. Most of us have friends or family that get very uncomfortable around anger because we don't have a safe anger, safe space for anger, right? It's just how we were raised. And thus, as a result, is that person comes out of depression a little bit, right? They're not like totally in pajamas eating ice cream or doing whatever else that's destructive, and they raise their energy a little bit to the level of anger. And now what happens is they're like, oh no, I'm too much for my friends or family. They can't accept my anger. So instead of going past anger to a next level up that's healthier and healthier, they go back down to depression. This is why the breakup cycle, it keeps cycling. Now, there's obviously a period of time that's very normal and healthy for people to feel bad and slowly climb out of, but it actually can be a little bit shorter than it has been for a lot of people. Again, why is that? A lot of people, they reach anger. It's super healthy, but they feel disenchanted and unsupported in that anger. Because who wants to have an angry friend, right?
I'm sure a lot of men can relate to what you're saying right now.
Exactly, right? And again, you know, then we have the shadow side of masculinity where anger is seen as very scary. And it's just so complex. It's so complicated. But if you can run that off, if you have a safe space for an hour, just belt it out, write it out, whatever is good for your personality, really, really get into that and release that. After anger, we get into even better and better emotions, right? So that's the best thing. I would say number one is be aware, just have the awareness that this is very normal. You're at a low energy vibration. It's not forever, it's temporary. Next is consciously move up that ladder. If you can get to a place of anger, you're doing really well. Don't we have societal rules and norms, you know, don't go to a dinner party and be angry and bitch about your ex-wife, you know, yeah, don't do that. Because of course you're going to feel unsupported.
And this goes both ways, right? Like, I mean, either if a woman holding a lot of masculine energy can appear to seem bitter as well in the same way.
That's exactly it. And the reason I use that masculine example was just that's a scarier version for most people to experience, right? Again, just because of how the media has depicted anger and so on.
True.
So find a healthy expression of that anger. Don't suppress it. If you suppress it, you go back down to depression and you start the cycle all over again. But if you can find a healthy expression of that anger, again, a safe space, you know, yell it out, write it out, talk it out, walk it out, run, punch something healthy and safe. You know, after anger, we get to a place of more neutral energy. And ultimately, you want to get to a place, and this is where coaching comes in place, right? Whether it's Rob or whoever, you want to get to a place where you start understanding what energy you tend to embody, right? Do you tend to be the really nice person during the courtship phase, but once you're in a settled relationship, you're no longer appreciative? You don't verbalize your thank yous, right? Have you really understood how you can support your partner? So once you get to an even healthier place, now we start intellectualizing what happened and we start intellectualizing what we're good at, what we can improve upon so that we actually evolve.
Love it. Yeah. And I'm definitely going to ask you about that live so we can break down all of those vibrations for people. Cause I think it's when you visualize it, it also becomes a lot easier to see it in the moment. A lot of people are visual creatures. And so we can see the patterns or we can see it in front of our faces unfolding. It helps a lot. So I think that'd be very valuable for that. And I'm pretty sure a lot of our listeners would get tons of value out of that. So hopefully we can do that something in the near future. But thank you for that. That was definitely powerful. That was definitely something that even I took some out of that. So that was great. And I thank you for coming on the show and being such an awesome sport. I know you were sick for like the last couple of weeks and we've been trying to reschedule and all that stuff. I've kind of flopped on you as well too. So, but thank you for understanding and all of that. And anybody, like I said, listening in and got tons of value, subscribe to the show. Lily is an awesome, awesome coach and amazing consultant in multiple different industries as well too. So definitely reach out to her and get on her radar. And she's going to be putting out a lot more content in the future, I foresee. And all of that is in the show notes. Any final last words here before we cut it off?
Oh yeah, sure. Thank you as well. Thanks, Rob, for hosting this. I'm so excited that you're back to the podcast side of things. And then I guess just to really quickly summarize for the listener, because I know we touched upon so many different things. They're all related, but it depends on, you know, where you're at in life. They could be, you know, they could feel really different. The one key thing I would say is that you have your elemental composition, meaning you're born into this world with certain traits that you're strong in, less strong in, and so on. The best thing I truly, truly think we can do as humans with so much potential is gaining an awareness of what you're good at, who you are, what qualities you can really hone to serve this world even better, to serve your business, your family, your relationships, your work even better. We work on your weaknesses. We really, really work on your strengths, and we all become better as human beings. Like, imagine a world like that.
Boom. Beautiful. Love it. Lily, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rob. Peace out, everyone.
Peace out.